As we look today at the last of our three prayers of Christmas, Simeon's prayer of realization, looked at Mary's prayer of faith, looking ahead to the thing that seemed impossible, the thing that couldn't be, to Zechariah's prayer of expectation that he was expecting so long and hopeful for a son, and then his mouth was shut for 9+ months and opened again when it was time, when a son was born. And this morning we have Simeon's prayer of realization. So if you're able to stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word, would you stand together as we open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 21 and following. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. The name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother,
this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we open your word, and we pray that you open our minds, you open our hearts, that we might hear and understand, that we might become who you desire us to become and do what you want us to do as we consider your word today with Simeon. We pray your blessing. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are certain things we expect, certain things we desire that we look forward to. And there are other things that are so far beyond our imagination, our understanding. They seem unthinkable. Why would it even cross our mind? You know, as a nation, we're still grappling with that from 9 days ago in Connecticut. And something that is out, something that just can't be explained. But what we see today in this scripture is something that can be explained by God's Spirit, by God's power. And we don't know much about the background, the history of Simeon. We just know the little that the Bible tells us in this passage. So we can imagine some things about him so that he was open to, able to hear the Holy Spirit speak to him, know it was the Holy Spirit and respond in a way that his faith and his prayers of years would be answered. What we see in Simeon is that it was who he was that led to what he did. Who he was led to what he did. It was about his being who he was. Your first point on your outline this morning says that the prayers are realized when I am who God desires. All of us have things we pray about, right? I mean, I hope you pray about things. I hope that you have desires for your own life or for the lives of others, that you desire good things for them. I don't know that God's going to honor a prayer if you desire a bad thing for them. That's another story. But if you desire good things for them, say, let's pick an easy one, your children. If you're a parent, I'm sure you pray for your children. You probably pray for your children a lot. You pray for your children's safety. You pray for your children's knowledge, their wisdom, their choices. You pray that you might not strangle your children sometimes. That's a prayer for your children because it's a prayer that they'd still be alive, right? You can pray all sorts of things for your children. What about for people you know? You pray for your boss. You pray for your coworkers. You pray for anybody. Pray for random people. I know, have you ever been driving along the road and you see somebody and the Holy Spirit says, you ought to pray for that person. Pray for them. Or maybe it's somebody you meet and you have an encounter and you realize, or have even a brief conversation, something's going on in their life and you need to pray for them. What we learn from Simeon is that our prayers are realized, our prayers are answered when we are the sort of person God desires. When there's a holiness in our life, a righteousness in our life that mirrors Jesus and mirrors God's image for us. And we're going to see that in these points that follow. Because the first point there is that God wants me righteous. God wants me righteous. God wants me righteous is that first bullet point under there. God wants me righteous. Of course he wants you righteous. Does God want you unrighteous? Is God's desire for you to be sinful? Is God's desire for you to be damned eternally to hell? Is God's desire for you to do ugly, nasty things and hurt other people? No! God's desire for you is good. God's desire for you is love. God's desire for you is righteous. And what does righteous mean? Righteous is a state of being right. Now, is that right in your own eyes? Or is it right in God's eyes? Because if you have to admit it, even in your own eyes, you're not always right. Even according to your own sense of morality, your own standards, sometimes you do things that are wrong. You know you shouldn't tell a lie, but man, I'm not going to let that guy win. I'm going to tell a lie no matter what. And you violated your own sense of righteousness. You know you shouldn't break the speed limit, but you're in a hurry and you're like, oh, nobody's around. And you step on it. You violated your own sense of righteousness, but I'm talking about righteousness that's far beyond and above your own meager sense of self-righteousness. And that's God's righteous perfection, which we can't get to on our own, but God desires for us to be righteous. Look at that passage of Scripture with me again in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. So on the eighth day, it was time to circumcise Jesus. He was given the name Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he conceived. So we know that part. When the time had come for purification according to the law of Moses, so that was the 40th day, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem. So they took baby Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord at the temple, as it was written in the law, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. So this was the custom of Jewish people. Jesus was a Jew. And his parents were raising him righteous according to the law and their custom. In verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice, keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So that would be if you didn't have too much money, that's what you could give. And they didn't. They were from a smaller place and had a long way to travel, but they were following the law and they were going to offer this sacrifice. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. Righteous and devout. Because of his righteousness, because he was devoted, because he was set aside for God, God answered his prayer. Simple. So your question there that's not on your page that'll be on the screen is, where is my righteousness lacking? When you consider your own personal righteousness, where are your righteousness challenges? Where are the spots that you tend to get hung up? Is there a besetting sin that you struggle with? Or maybe it's not a besetting sin because you don't do it all the time, but there's this one person that really knows how to get your... And every time they just get under your skin and your righteousness is lacking. But it may be some deep, dark something or other, some addiction, some unforgiveness, some hurt that goes way back. That's something that you need to say to God. God, here's my sin, my unrighteousness, and would you take it from me? I'm asking you this question at the beginning of this sermon to follow the text, because I clearly see, as it says here, that it was because of Simeon's righteousness, but also to challenge us. Where's our righteousness? You notice the next thing it says about Simeon there in the middle of verse 25. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Your second point to consider about who you are is that God wants me expectant. God wants me expectant, not expectant like a mother. That, I mean, it's the same sort of idea, I guess, that there's something within you that you're waiting to see come to fruition, like a mother giving birth to a child. But God wants you expectant of things in your life. God wants you expectant in prayer. God wants you expectant of His will. God wants you expectant of blessings for other and righteousness in your own life. And that's what it says of Simeon. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was expecting Israel to see the Messiah come. We've got a video that will help us to understand a little bit, and it's from our Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for International Mission series. And this video, you'll see some of this idea of expectation, what we thought we could do versus what God did. So.
Well, I must confess that I'm surprised that we don't have thousands of people that are flooding this area, because we have the opportunity now and the door is open. I pastor a smaller church, only in number, but last year we doubled our Lottie Moon Christmas offering because some of our people were able to come to places like this and they caught the vision for what God was doing all around the world. My wife and I were on vacation and received a call that someone had burned our church down. And of course, it was a very shocking news. We'd never had any kind of tragedy like that before, but it actually made us stronger. It brought us together.
Today, we had our annual church barbecue. All the money that is raised goes into missions. God has gave us the great commission to go into the world. And now God has said, go farther, to go all the way to Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world.
We've had the opportunity to go to Central Asia on 6 or 7 occasions. We have adopted a particular people group in that area. The first trip, I must admit, I was a little bit anxious because I thought everybody had a dagger hidden in their vest. You know, and we'd cut our heads off if we said we were Christians. That is the furthest from the truth. Somebody maybe was a little unhappy that we were talking about Christianity and the Bible, and the police came and took us to the jail and interrogated us, but they released us. The unique thing about that story, the next morning we were able to give out Bibles to policemen who requested Bibles just because they didn't know what all of the uproar was about for us being there. We were so impressed with the people of Egypt, the believers there, because their faith was so strong, their belief in Christ didn't hinder them from sharing their faith with their neighbors and their willingness to express their faith in Christ. So it was an encouragement to us.
Father said, he said, you are crazy to go to over there in the Middle East or to Asia. You know you can get killed, yes, but Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. To save your life is to lose it. To lose your life for my sake is gain.
It seems the more that we are involved in missions, the more that people are willing to give. And so it's a time of joy that we have learned to sacrifice, and people are willing to do that now.
God wants me expectant. Your question is, what are you expecting? What is it that you are expecting? What are you asking God for? What are you anticipating in prayer? That's the application question that'll come up on the screen for you to consider. What are you considering or anticipating? Are there things that are so far outside of your own ability to do them that they won't get done unless God does them? That it's a step of faith, that it's a God-sized task, that you need God to show up? Because that's exactly where God works. God doesn't work in the things that we can do on our own. Why would He? Why should He? He works where only He can get the glory. He works where we'll go, whoa, that wasn't me. That was something beyond me. What are you anticipating in prayer? What are you expecting in prayer? Are you praying for something so big for your life, for your family, for our church, for your employer, for anybody you know, that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done? Simeon was praying, and he was expecting the consolation of Israel. So God wants me righteous. God wants me expectant. The third point there, God wants me obedient. My prayers are realized when I am who God desires, and He wants me expectant. He wants me obedient. Obedient. Do you see what it says there? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he knew that. That was his expectation. So verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. He was obedient. He had been praying enough. He knew in his heart that God was going to keep his promise because he knew God was faithful and true. So when God's Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go, he went. Are you praying for something? Send back to that last point. That's so big that unless God does it, it's not going to happen. Are you so tuned into God, so desperate for God to do something, to answer your prayer, that you are dying to hear from Him? That when He speaks, you say, yes, Lord, your servant's listening. That you're ready to move and obey. See, my prayers are answered when I am who God desires. When I am who God desires. Simeon was righteous. Simeon was expecting God to do something, and Simeon was obedient when God told him to go to the temple courts. So your question is, what do I struggle with? Where do I struggle to obey? Where are your obedience challenges, the toughest things for you to do? It might be one of those things we talked about 2 points ago and your besetting sins. It might be something else that you know God has told you to do. And you'd say, well, it's not a sin that I'm not doing it. Oh, really? If God gives you a direct command and you disobey, isn't that a sin? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Where's your challenge to obey? What do you struggle with? Because God is calling you to it, to obey. You saw in the video there, the pastor, Gene, and I love that picture in the middle of the video, the pastor holding his Bible there like that, and he's smiling. I don't know what he's smiling about, but I know how he feels. When you look out over your congregation at people you love, and you know the stories and the challenges and the hurts and the pains, but you also know the victories and the blessings and how God has shown up. And as a pastor, you can stand in front of your people and you can smile about it. I know that. But I love the man Louis, the layman. He might have been a deacon, I don't know. And Louis had a bit of a twangy southern accent when he talked. But man, that Louis could quote scripture, couldn't he? And Louis quoted in the 3 different little segments they showed of him, he quoted his scripture every time. God bless Louis. But also, God bless Louis, that even when Louis's own father, as he testified, said, why would you want to go over there? You could get killed. He said, but God called us to go to Samaria into the ends of the earth. And we're going to go, and we're going to trust God. There was no struggle for obedience for Louis because Louis, like unto Simeon, was expectant of what God would do. Louis had some righteousness in his life, and Louis was ready to obey no matter what, no matter where, even if it was dangerous, even if his own daddy told him to be careful. God wants me righteous. God wants me expectant. God wants me obedient. So, that's our first major point, that our prayers are realized when I am who God desires. It's about your being. But let's shift gears here. Your next major point is that our prayers are realized because God is who He is. If it was only about me and my righteousness and my expectation and my obedience, hey, that'd be good. But that's only part way there because that doesn't include God in it, does it? Me plus nobody else is, well, that's a losing equation sometimes. But me plus God can beat anybody in the world. Me plus Jesus is greater than anything. And my prayers are realized because God is who He is, not because I am who I am ultimately. God wants me to be righteous, but God, because He is righteous, God, because He's sovereign, God, because He's powerful, He has the power to act and cause anything that He desires to come true. Let's go on and see what it says there. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people." I want to key in on that phrase in verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. Our prayers are realized because God is who He is. Your first bullet point there is that God is true. God is true. God is true. God keeps His promises. Just like we talked about last week with the Vacation Bible School song, God keeps His promises. He cannot lie. God is true. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's John 14:6. Jesus says He is the truth. The Holy Spirit is referred to multiple times in the Gospel of John alone as the Spirit of truth. That unless you have heard from Jesus, unless you have heard from God, unless you have heard from the Holy Spirit, you don't know truth. I saw a quote this week that challenged me because it took me back to a study I'd done almost 20 years ago, Experiencing God with Henry Blackaby, the first time I did it. Some of you have done it. And Dr. Blackaby said this, "Unless you have heard from Jesus, you don't know the truth in a situation." Now, why is that? Because Jesus is the truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Because God is true. That ultimate truth is God's truth. Whether that's revealed through Jesus and the Bible or the Holy Spirit or God Himself speaking to you. Unless you have heard the truth from our sovereign God, you don't know the real, absolute, final truth in a given situation. So here's my challenge to you in that, brothers and sisters. Anything that you're praying about right now, anything that's burdening you right now, anything that you don't know the answer to, you go to Scripture and you go to prayer and you seek God's truth of what that situation is. And when you hear from God, you'll know you have the truth. But until you hear from God, you just got your own ideas and man's wisdom. And you ain't going to get too far with that. God is true. So your application question is, what does He promise to me? If God is true, and it says there that, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised," Simeon prays back to God. My question for you is, what has God promised to you? Are there some specific prayers that you know God has told you, but you're still waiting for? You're still in faith. You're still in expectation because it's not here yet. You haven't realized it. You're not like Simeon taking the baby in your arms, looking at him and saying, "Lord, you can take me home now because I've seen that the Messiah is here." That's what Simeon's saying. But you're still waiting on a God who is true to deliver what He's promised to you. What's He promised to you? My challenge would be, if you haven't claimed any of God's promises, that you would. That as you read your Bible and as you see something, you say, "Wow, man, I need that in my life." You know what you need to do? You need to write that down. You need to memorize it. You need to hide it in your heart. You need to write it in a journal somewhere. You need to pray that prayer and offer God's word back to Him and say, God, your word is true. I'm praying the truth back to you. God, would you make this true in my life? God, is this a promise you have for me? There are many things in the Bible that are general to all believers, but there are specific promises that as you seek, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that it's just for you. And how will you know that? Well, you'll know when you know. I'm not trying to be mysterious. I'm just telling you when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you know it's the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't had that happen yet, you just need to ask that one. Hey, God, will you let the Holy Spirit speak to me through Scripture in such a way that I know that you're speaking to me, that it's specific for me? Because God will do it, because He's true, but He's also powerful. Before we talk about Him being powerful, we have another of our Lottie videos to watch to help us illustrate this point of God being true and God being powerful. Let's play that one.
Hello, I'm Ed Jordan.
I'm Nan Jordan.
And we've been serving in Japan for 29 years, working with the deaf.
I met Mrs. Rivers 3 years ago, and she said, I'm a Buddhist, I will never become a Christian. As we had our Bible storying times together, she told the ladies in our group, now you need to remember these stories. You need to remember these, because if we don't remember them, it's going to be just a total waste. She internalized the stories. We did chronological Bible storying and led her through the Scriptures. But she said, one day she said, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe I'm a sinner. And so after class, we said, so did you believe in Jesus as your Savior? And she goes, I'm a Buddhist. I will never believe. At our Sayonara party, everyone was sharing about what Bible story meant a lot to them. And she said, all the Bible stories that I've heard, they're just miraculous stories. I've never heard miracles like this. I've never heard stories like this. And the story of the life of Jesus, when He died on the cross and He shed His blood for my sins, and I know I'm a sinner, and today I'm making the announcement that I believe in Jesus as my Savior. And there was great rejoicing in the room. And I was thinking, thank you, Southern Baptists, for providing the funds for us to be able to stay on the field, for Bibles to give these people, for the sign language Bible that you help support, for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the cooperative program. Thank you for participating in this with us.
And you can rejoice too.
God is true, and God's word is truth. And when you open God's word to yourself, and when the Holy Spirit speaks through God's word, it's powerful, because truth is powerful. Truth changes things. Truth challenges people. And God has promised to us through Scripture both general and specific things. And He's going to deliver, because my prayers are realized because God is who He is. Your second major point there is that God is powerful. God is powerful. God is powerful. What did He say there, Simeon, as He prayed in verse 30? Luke chapter 2, verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. My eyes have seen your salvation for all people. God is powerful. He's not just a God of like a king of one people, of one nation. He's not like a president or a government who doesn't have an army that can just control one thing or certain parts of the world. But God is powerful over all creation and sovereign over all creation, because God made everybody and God made everything, and God is powerful. My eyes have seen your salvation. Every person that's ever lived has a problem, and that problem is sin. It's our unrighteousness that separates us from God. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is breaking God's law. And the Bible says all of us have that problem. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die and after that to face judgment. All of us will be judged for our sins. So what are we going to do about it? The Bible says, however, that God demonstrates his own love to us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Still sinners. We couldn't do anything on our own, but Christ died for us. And the Bible says that the wages of those sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God gives us a free gift, like we give one another gifts at Christmas time. God gives us a free gift, but not a gift of a shirt or clothes or a toy or a video game. God gives us a gift that's in our being and forever. He gives us Jesus to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life with him. God is powerful, and he offers that salvation to all people. And your application question there is, where do I need his power? You might not yet have stepped over the line of faith to trust Christ as your personal Savior, to commit your heart to him. And it may be today that that's where you need God's power. You need to say to God, God, give me the power, even though I don't have all the answers, to trust Jesus as my personal Savior. Or it may be that you trusted Christ years ago, but you've wandered away and your pride's gotten in the way and you know you're living a sinful, unrighteous lifestyle, but you need to have the faith to say, God, let me confess these things to you. Let me give them to you. I want to repent and turn away from those things. And God, I need your power to change me so these things don't bring me down anymore. Where do you need God's power in your life today? Simeon in his prayer and God in his action shows us that he is powerful. He's provided salvation for all men. Your final bullet point there is that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Simeon said in verse 29, sovereign Lord, as you have promised. Sovereign means rule, reign, authority, power. And said, it's a light of revelation for the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. God is sovereign. Simeon said there as he blessed Mary, this child is destined, and this is in verse 34, to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. In other words, people will see Jesus and speak ill of him, speak against him because he's so powerful and he stands out so much, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You know, Jesus, when he was alive, it says he knew the thoughts of a man. You remember the incidents in Scripture where Jesus spoke to a person and they were probably going, huh? How'd you know what I was thinking? Jesus knew what was within a man, and he knew not to trust a man because men on their own are not trustworthy. But Jesus is truth, and he's God's son, and he is sovereign. And Jesus divides and reveals. And it says of Mary, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon spoke a word of prophecy, knowing how Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, would feel upon Jesus' death on a cross. God is sovereign. Our prayers are answered. They are realized because God is who he is. Your application question there, under God is sovereign, says, where have I seen his sovereignty? I didn't ask the negative, where haven't I seen his sovereignty, or where do I need to see his sovereignty? I wanted to ask you where you have seen God's sovereignty. Where in your life already can you look back and see that God has been sovereign for you, that he answered a prayer that you go, wow, God did that? Where in your life can you look and you see maybe it's something that you've read of someone else, either a biography by a Christian person or an autobiography, or maybe even the Bible, that you see and you know by faith that God answers these things because he is sovereign and you've seen his sovereignty at work? Where have you seen God's sovereignty at work? What I want to do by asking you this question is to build your faith, so that everything that we've talked about here and praying prayers and seeking God's answer to a prayer and expectation and realization will be balanced on the sure foundation of faith in God. Because remember, our prayers are realized because who we are, but ultimately because of who God is. So what I want to connect us back to in faith is who God is, and that God keeps his promises, that God is true, that God is sovereign, and that God will deliver because he's powerful and he can. Where have I seen his sovereignty? You think about your life. I want to give you just a minute If you've already put up your outline, shame on you. You know I'm not done until I'm done. Pull out your outline again, because you need to write something down here. I'm going to give you a minute. I want you to write down, where have you seen God's sovereignty? And you might just write one name or one incident or one phrase. Let's be serious about this, folks. I don't want you to just go, okay, this is the last point of the sermon. Let's put up the outline. How quickly can we go get coffee and donuts? No. Where have you seen God's sovereignty? You might write a scripture reference that you've claimed that you've seen God done. You might write the name of a person whose God has totally changed their life. Maybe that would be your name. You might write the name of an incident or a challenge. Write it down. I'm going to stop talking and give you a minute to write it down. Write it down. Some of y'all are going to leave and say, whoo, that preacher even gave us a test. We had to write stuff down. Test for nobody but you. A test of your faith. A test of your trust in a sovereign God. Look back at that outline. Remember, our first major point is that my prayers are realized when I am who God desires. It's about my being righteous, my being expectant in prayer, my being obedient to God and acting when He says act, doing what He says do. But the real foundation of our prayers being answered and the realization of things that God promises is God's character. It's that God is true, that God is powerful, that God is sovereign, and what God says He will do. And that's the God we serve. So let's review our scripture memory verse for the month. Our scripture memory verse for the month reminds us of what we must do in relationship to our sovereign God. Let's say it together. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wants to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of Me will find it." Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of Me will find it. Have you lost your life because of Jesus? When you do, you're going to see more prayers realized. Join me in prayer now. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word that challenges us every week. Well, not every week. Hopefully we read it every day. Every time we read it, Your Holy Spirit speaks to us. But as we come together in this place, as worship in this sanctuary set apart from the world every Sunday morning, that it challenges us here too. God, as we consider Your word for us today and Simeon's prayer that realized Your promise to him, would You draw us close to You that we might be seeking You, and that we might seek to be righteous as You desire us to be. And at this time of invitation, Father, if there's anything that is unrighteous in our life or sinful, may we freely confess it to You and admit that we've done things that are not right, that are sinful, that break Your heart and break Your will. And God, would we confess that and repent and turn away from that? Father, we also pray for those things in our lives that are so big, so challenging, that unless you show up in your sovereignty and power, that they won't change. God, there are many burdens in our church family like that now. People struggling with illness, people needing a job or a better job, people with concerns over family members or relationships. God, would you move? Would you act? Can we give you the glory? So, Father, we seek to lose our life for the sake of Jesus. Would you allow us to realize his presence and power in our lives like never before as we do? We pray this in his name. Amen.